You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Monster House presents.
Monster Talk is supported by listeners like you. Find out how you can contribute via Patreon or with reviews at monstertalk.org/support. Your contributions, large or small, make a huge difference. Thanks.
I've probably been acting a bit weird to everybody in the group and online. And that's because when I was checking the SD cards, I found some photos that were pretty damn good. I know what they are. And so do a few independent expert witnesses.
It's actually quite unlike anything we've ever seen before.
A giant hairy creature, part ape, part man.
In Loch Ness, a 24-mile long bottomless lake in the highlands of Scotland, it's a creature known as the Loch Ness Monster.
Monster Talk.
Welcome to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
I knew when I heard the alleged thylacine news that we needed to hop on and talk about it for Monster Talk. So yesterday, Karen and I sat down along with her husband, Matt, to discuss. We're talking about a YouTube video from Neil Waters of the Thylacine Awareness Group of Australia, the TAGOA, or TAGOA, that dropped on February 22nd, 2021. It's a 3-minute video or so, and as you'll hear in this episode, while the narrator, Neil, pats himself on the back for running this stuff by experts, he also titled his video, "We Found the Thylacine." I think some Ron Howard narration is appropriate here. He titled the video, "We Found the Thylacine."
But he really didn't.
In this episode, we'll discuss what the experts had to say about these photos. Spoiler: the actual photos dropped less than 24 hours ago on the internet, and they are not the definitive proof of thylacines that Neil Waters suggested. What did they actually show? We'll get to that next in our
Monster Talk.
Welcome to Monster Talk. G'day, Bruce. G'day, Bruce.
G'day, guys. You can tell I've been practicing my accent, unlike you guys.
Oh, no, that sounds real authentic. Yeah, it does.
You cobbers.
Yeah.
You diggers.
Crikey.
You blokes.
So we've talked about before on the show, we've talked about back in 2011, we had on Dr. Andrew Pask, who was looking into trying to use DNA to resurrect thylacines. They look, to me, they look more like a canid, like a lot like a canid, but they do. But they didn't move like canids and they didn't hunt like canids. But anyway, since they were declared extinct, people have been looking to find the exception, much like we talked about with.
I think they were declared extinct. Was it in about 1925 or 1930?
No, it was. They declared them extinct in the 80s, like 84, I think.
Okay.
But they had not been seen since the last one died in the zoo in the 1930s. So
yeah, I think it was in Hobart Zoo.
Yeah, exactly.
In captivity. Yeah.
So So, yeah, it's kind of like when they declare you dead. You know, they have to have like a gap between the last time you were seen and when they go, okay, we're giving up, you know. Like, yeah, for me, like
a cooling off period.
Like,
let's start again with the latest news that may not be news at all.
Sure. So Neil Waters is a guy mm-hmm. who released a YouTube video. They want there to be a thylacine still alive. And so do I. I think it would be great.
So do we. Yeah. We do. But I think that some of them go beyond wanting that and actually believing, kind of more in line with Bigfoot believers.
Yeah. In fact, you know what? Let's go to a clip. Here's a little bit of what he has to say.
And there's a little bit of a clue with the mum and the dad as to what they are with certain features of them, but they are ambiguous. However, the baby is not ambiguous. We wait and see. We get confirmation or rejection from Nick Mooney, either way. The museum's had the first chance to look at the photos. I've done the right thing and given the experts the chance to have a look and tell me what they think. But we know there's at least three wandering around northeast Tasmania with the intention of continuing to do so. So, congratulations, everyone. We've done it. Cheers.
The baby is not ambiguous. Well, I don't know. It just makes me wonder if maybe it was, but then a dingo ate it.
I was waiting for that. Someone had to say it.
They had set out trail cams, and these images were captured on trail cam. It's not clear whether these were their own or a local who had trail cams for hunting or whatever sent them the photos. Don't know. But they sent it over to a guy named Nick Mooney at the Tasmanian Museum and Art Gallery, the TMAG, and mm-hmm. asked them to have a look. Now, as often happens, the science people rely on, you know, known animals, measurements, coloration, dentition, like all these different ways of looking at animals and figure out what they are. Mm-hmm. And they concluded that these were not thylacines. I need to drop a quick insert here to replace a big chunk of audio that was all messed up because of me. Before the photos were released, a news update came out about the video in which numerous outlets reported that experts who were consulted did not recognize this animal as a thylacine. Here's an example from CNET. Waters states in the video he has handed the images over to Nick Mooney, a thylacine expert at the Tasmanian Museum and Art Gallery, TMAG. A TMAG spokesperson said Mooney has now reviewed and assessed Mr. Waters' material on Tuesday afternoon local time. Nick Mooney has concluded that based on the physical characteristics shown in the photos provided by Mr. Waters, the animals are very unlikely to be thylacines and are most likely Tasmanian pademelons, TMAG told CNET. Mooney added, the still images are not so exciting. For stupid brain reasons, when we recorded this, instead of saying pademelons, I kept saying pandamelons. This was, I presume, the result of residual brain damage from repeat watching of A Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. Anyway, I was delighted to learn about pademelons, which are a marsupial native to the island of Tasmania, mainland Australia, and New Guinea. Coming up in this episode, we also briefly discuss some reported sightings on mainland Australia, and I'll throw links for both the cute pademelon and to some stories about other alleged thylacine sightings in our show notes.
Yeah,
they look very similar to a small wallaby.
Right. They're smaller like than a small wallaby. They're like wallaby wannabes. They are. Yeah.
They're very cute, actually.
Oh no, yeah, they are. And when you see them standing upright, you would wonder how could someone think that was a thylacine. But you know, when they're eating, they don't necessarily have to be upright.
And when they're moving, if you see them from behind, they look a little bit different, and they're certainly very. Can have thick fur. It just reminds me a little bit of the Patterson Gimlin story where they were looking for Bigfoot, and it seems like this group is really actively looking for the thylacine, which is, of course, the best way to find it. But it seems like this guy has an agenda.
Well, he does. This is not his first sort of rodeo with a thylacine story.
Thylacine rodeo.
he's
next on Fox.
He's apparently never seen a blurry thylacine video that he didn't love. I mean, that's
and there are a ton of them on YouTube.
There are. I think
he just really seems to be confused about what should be considered evidence.
Well, that's true.
And it's okay to get excited about a photo, but it's not evidence. It might lead you to evidence, but it is not evidence.
Well,
he went on a show called a radio show called Triple M. So that's why I was confusing the two. And he was interviewed by a reporter named Brian Carlton. And so he was referring to the evidence as pretty good evidence. And when the radio announcer, when he saw the images, so they had been leaked already. I don't think they've been leaked online yet, but he's certainly shown them around to some people, including Nick Mooney and others. But this Brian Carlton did not seem very impressed. And
as his first words were, so what am I looking at here?
Yeah.
So Neil kind of tried to justify everything by saying, well, I showed these to a cat expert and I showed these to a dog expert. Those were his words. And they said, oh, it's definitely not a cat. It's definitely not a dog. But that doesn't mean it's definitely a
thylacine. The only thing left is an alien.
Yeah, you're right. He's got a lot of enthusiasm, but doesn't come across as being particularly well educated in how to properly identify animals. And
he doesn't come across as being particularly well.
Well, I don't want to be
maybe a little drunk.
Was like, I don't want to be mean-spirited myself. I mean, like, I understand a lot of people are fed up with these sort of thylacine stories in general. And if you wanted to make a stereotypical story about person who comes up and says they found a thing that's not, you know, a cryptid, he kind of fits that bill. Like, he kind of looks like he was born to be the guy who's pointing at Bigfoot photos kind of thing. But, I mean, this is thylacines. Ooh. They're not Bigfoot. I don't know if he even cares about Bigfoot, so I shouldn't say it that way.
Well, he did end the video by saying, you know, congratulations, we've done it. And
a little over-enthusiastic.
Yeah, way premature.
Now, Blake, I
always appreciate that about you, that you are about as far from mean-spirited as one could get. And that's fantastic that you're able to maintain that, and I hope you can. For me personally, I look at this and I've had my fill. When I had to deal with the Stan Romanek thing with him with the alien in the window video, he sang the same song and dance. He came out way too soon. And if you're going to look at it from the perspective of he's being honest, then he came out way too soon bragging about this thing that he quotey fingers couldn't show because the scientists are looking at it, and then declaring victory.
Even more indicative of a problem is having had the scientists look at it and say, no, he appears to be. I mean, we'll know more later today, but it appears he's doubling down and saying, the scientists are wrong. It's definitely a Taz tiger. So,
He did start by saying, look, whatever Nick Mooney says, he's an expert. I will respect his whatever he says about this. And now that he's come out and said, well, no, it's not a thylacine, he is, as you said, doubling down.
Yeah.
Going the other direction. Now, Blake, I did send you a few photos because the thylacine was also known as the Butterum beast.
Well, it's known by different names in different areas. And so, Butterum is an area that where my mother lives in Queensland. So it's not too far away from Brisbane, of Brisbane.
And to remind our listeners that Australia and Tasmania, they're separated like by water, right?
Well, Australia is the mainland and Tasmania is an island just south. But it is part of Australia.
So governmentally part of it, but like physically separate. That's what I meant.
It's separate to the mainland, but it's absolutely part of Australia.
Right. And
if you have a look at the map of where the areas that they once inhabited, Queensland is part of that. And so all the way up the coast, people have claimed that they've seen thylacines to this day. And so there are a number of very beautiful parks and recreational areas in and near the Brisbane and Sunshine Coast area. And so there have been a number of sightings even of late of the thylacine, and people call it the Butterum beast.
Yeah, and we actually did a short investigation of Butterham Forest where it was sighted. And going through, you can see from the pictures that I sent you how easily you might see stripes.
Oh, yeah. There's some lovely, like...
it's quite dense.
What are those called? Palm fronds? I'm not sure. Like,
where yeah, they're fronds.
Yeah, and they would create all kinds of light and shadow. And you're right. Like, if in that kind of environment, that striping would have been beautiful camouflage for the actual...
And if you have... You get a lot of people who are going through hikes through there, too. And if they've got a dog, and if they happen to run past one of these fronds, I mean, you could absolutely see someone...
Or a melon.
Yes, yeah. But seeing, I don't know if they're around that area. They may be. But you could absolutely think that someone could mistake a dog or other small creature for possibly being a thylacine, especially if you're looking for one and wanting to find one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms
and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Each week on Chinwag, we dig into the weird topics you wonder about, that you care about. The stuff none of us are totally sure of, like the Bermuda Triangle, Mothman, consciousness, philosophy, UFOs, ghosts, or say Bigfoot.
So who's to say that there's not alien species that are Sasquatch?
Like I've seen a ghost, and I would hear something walking and breathing.
Maybe every path is right. I will accept as a premise that every path is right.
That is a face on Mars. Eyes, nose. It kind of looked like Wilson the volleyball.
Some people enjoy the waves or whatever crashing, and I enjoy listening to a quantum physics audiobook.
I do think there are many things in the world that we just don't understand and probably won't understand.
That's our whole show.
So join us every Wednesday on all major podcast platforms and find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at ChinwagPod and Wagon.
Yeah.
And if all you're looking for is the stripes, because that's what they're known for.
Yeah.
You're going
to
see
very distinctive.
Them.
They had a kind of a straight tail, and I think that from the famous footage people have seen of these, their jaws opened an incredible width, or like just it's like it's freakish to
see. Nasty teeth.
Yeah. So, but I did do a little research about the latest. I mean, people still research these animals even though they're extinct, and
yes,
I found some interesting facts. Like one of the things that surprised me was. I think a lot of people thought that they left mainland Australia probably due to the arrival of humans and of dingoes, which would have competed with their food space. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that they actually had, first of all, they had a huge population crash. I think it was 70,000 years ago. About 70,000 years ago, or more than 70,000 years ago. They could look at the genetic diversity in the bones that remain, that there's something happened dramatically to reduce the number of these animals in a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And so when people showed up about 40,000 years ago, that also caused a population crash. And then dingoes apparently have only been on Australia for about 4,000 years ago. So, okay. But 3,000 years ago, there was another big population crash among the thylacines. And that was on both the Australian continent and on Tasmania, where there weren't dingoes. And so they realized that probably means it was related to a climate sort of incident. So there was probably some big dry weather thing that really caused the populations to plummet. Ultimately, they died off on mainland Australia, but lived on, until the 1930s in Tasmania, on the Tasmanian island.
It is definitely a slightly different climate there. It is, even if you go and look at videos of people hunting for thylacine, there's a lot more rain there. It's definitely cooler than it is on the mainland. So it is a different climate.
We wiped them out. I mean, they put a bounty on them and we killed them They were as a species, they kind of died from bad PR. I mean, they basically looked like a wolf. You know, they probably were doing some predation, but probably not to the extent that the locals thought they were. They didn't hunt the way that wolves do. They hunt more like they were kind of ambush predators, more like a cat. So calling them the Tasmanian tiger makes a little more sense when you find out like more about their hunting and stuff. I can put some links to some papers that I found very interesting in the show notes. But from a science perspective, there's so many things in Australia now that weren't there before. So like in addition to dingoes now on the mainland, there's tons of foxes that were brought over. And so for people when they see
it, I've never seen one myself, but I can, if you have, again, if you have a look on YouTube, there are lots of blurry videos. It looks like either people claiming that they've seen the thylacine and it looks like it's a fox or a mangy fox, or it looks like even a large domestic house cat, a ginger cat.
And it's funny. I mean, foxes are really good at hiding. I mean, we have them around here, but they don't even get hit by cars very often. I mean, it's usually quite exciting to see one, pop up. Like we have bobcats around here, and they're also extremely good. You just don't usually see much roadkill that's a fox or a bobcat around here, but we have them.
Same around here.
So some animals are just better at this sort of thing, but I don't think. I want to say one more thing. So we had on a couple of years back, Neil Gimmel, who was doing a research project into the Loch Ness. They did the survey of environmental DNA within Loch Ness, right? And ultimately, not surprising, they did not find any evidence of a giant plesiosaur or anything like that. There's nothing in the loch that would sort of solve the mystery of whatever the monster is, except that there's people around it and people construct stories and misidentify things. And that's, I mean, there's so much misidentification at the heart of cryptozoology anyway, but I feel like eventually environmental DNA is going to either identify these missing animals or effectively prove they don't exist. I mean, like if you have, bodies of water where you think people see thylacines, pools, blood meals from insects. There's so many ways to catch environmental DNA that should have traces of these mystery animals if they're real. And I think the more we bother to do that research, the more we'll find that they're not. But if we find them existing, wouldn't that be great? I mean, again, I would be delighted, but I think we do not have to rely on blurry photos for our monster proof. I mean, there are new methods that are really definitive.
Right. But it's a shame that these groups keep coming forward and claiming that they have seen a thylacine or seen a group of thylacines. And I think that they're going to be taken less seriously after this incident. And he's certainly the man who cried thylacine.
I have to say, shame on the newspapers. I mean, this mostly comes from YouTube, but the YouTube video was super popular. So newspapers started covering it without doing any work to see if this guy had made previous claims that were unfounded. And,
but that's exactly the same thing that happens here. You know, whether it's a supposed Bigfoot sighting or a ghost sighting, the media jump onto it, slow news day.
And they jump on it without any, They get all the benefit and none of the downside. The newspapers and news stories on TV, they don't get dinged for sharing a story that they know is not true, but somehow still come across as the arbiters of what's real and what's not real is bullshit. I'm sorry, I'm annoyed.
Well, I think it is the takeaway message that a lot of people have, though. I mean, I've heard people say, I thought that they'd found evidence for the existence of thylacines. I thought they were still around because of this kind of thing.
You know, I think this is an indictment on journalism. It's definitely an indictment on the cryptozoology.
Strictly journalism.
I mean, they do this with everything. They do it with ghost stories. They do it with monster stories. And it just bugs me that they don't
UFOs,
even try.
Aliens.
There's so much good information. There's so much really interesting scientific information about these animals. We know so much there. And none of the stories talk about, the new research that tells more about how they hunted, the new research that tells more about their population. Instead, it's right. Look at this bloke walking around with a beer, you know, talking about thylacines. And it's like, okay.
That's sensationalist. And yeah. He has been given a lot of airtime, and that's going to continue.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pronounced ERR or spelled ERR. By the time we drop this story, we'll know more about whether or not this photo was any more compelling to the average reader, viewer. But
from the few people who have seen the photographs, yeah, I don't think it's going to be revealed to be compelling.
I don't think so either, but especially not as excited as he got so excited about what looked like just fraction of a second of a blurry animal rooting around a trash can. It's just like, yeah, the would not be news to me, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I would be embarrassed to call this news, but he got a lot of ink out of it in 2016. So I don't know. Yeah.
I'd say just this lack of information is what makes these kind of investigations always so difficult. Like, you know, if he got this fraction of a second, you know, of a blurry photo, that's, you know, too little to go off of. Just like for us trying to determine what he's talking about, we have no idea how many beers he had before that one he's holding in his hand.
Yeah.
And he was also pointing to hops being grown in the background and at the start of the video. So likes a beer. A beer. It looked like some kind of... I don't know. I mean, I'm not a beer drinker myself. That's why I was exiled to America. But it looked like some kind of, I think, a boutique beer. But I'm sure we will have an Australian listener who will enlighten us and tell us what that brand was.
That's what the real news story. What's the beer?
I also want to mention that what Karen and I have going on for the rest of the day is we're going to go out and get some video footage of the extremely haunted stretch of road known as Riverdale Road in Colorado. So
one of the most haunted roads in the country.
Yeah.
That's where those Archie people live?
Yes.
Yep, nice.
Yes. Okay. So we'll be on the lookout for Jughead.
I was about to say, watch out for Jughead.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah. Riverdale High. Yes, I love that too.
Monster Talk.
You've been listening to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzno.
You just heard a discussion with myself, Dr. Karen Stolzno, and her husband, Matt Baxter, talking about the latest thylacine news. While the photos that were provided don't show thylacines, there's some really interesting research being done on these extinct animals, and I've put some links to that in the show notes if you'd like to read more about what scientists are actually finding out about these fascinating but tragically extinct animals. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Monster Talk. Each episode, we strive to bring you the very best in monster-related content with a focus on bringing scientific skepticism into the conversation. If you enjoy Monster Talk, we now have a variety of ways to support the show, all with convenient links at monstertalk.org/support. That's monstertalk.org/support. We have links there to our Patreon page as well as a donation button. Another great way to support the show is to buy books from our Amazon Monster Talk wish list, which directly helps us with our research. We love used books very much, so don't feel compelled to buy new ones, and we love Kindle so we can share our digital libraries with each other. And finally, without spending any money at all, you can support us by leaving a positive review at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Positive reviews help keep us visible in iTunes, which is a great way to help us find new listeners. And please share our show on your favorite social media platforms. Monster Talk theme music is by Peach Stealing Monkeys. Thank you so much for listening.
This has been a Monster House presentation.
Good night, Bruce.
Oh, hello, Bruce.
How are you, Bruce?
Big crook, Bruce.
Where's Bruce?
He's not here, Bruce.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.